You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we take 1% of our day, we dive into God's Word, we pray, then we head out and do something amazing with what we've learned. I am your host. Would that be the right way to say it? I'm here studying with you. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio of Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, and I'm excited to continue through the Gospel of John. We're building a lot of momentum every day. We're seeing more and more downloads. You can find this stream anywhere where you can find podcasts. So if you are streaming that way, give us a like, a follow, a share, set the notifications to all that helps us a great deal. And I say us because we're studying this together. I also want to encourage you to download the Sound of Heaven app. If you go to your Apple or Google Play Store, type in Sound of Heaven. We have a free digital Bible on there along with a lot of other great resources. And you could also go to soh.church to learn more as well. So we're going to jump right in. We are in John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well. Amazing chapter, and we're going to dive into an important part here, a good bit to cover. But if you recall, Jesus heads straight into Samaria. Samaria was a place where the Jewish people typically would not go. They would walk right around the area. And as we spoke about yesterday, Samaria, the Samaritans and the Jewish people had really bad blood because of virtual centuries of being at each other's throats and hurting one another, and it goes all the way back to when Israel split, and they never recovered, and these people would not associate with each other at all. But in true Jesus fashion, Jesus did not walk around Samaria. Jesus went straight into Samaria, and we talked about, for as we closed out yesterday, the ministry of reconciliation, and that God reconciles. First, he reconciles us to him. And what do I mean by that? I mean that, you know, despite our imperfections, our sins, our struggles, the things that we think keep us from God, God has made a way through Jesus for us to reconcile those, right? And reconcile basically means, you know, to set aside any differences, right? So, because of that, we are given the opportunity to be reconcilers as well. And that's in our own lives. That's forgiving one another. That's showing one another grace, but also the opportunity to share God with people and show them that God wants to, God loves them as much as anyone else, and that they have the opportunity to have a relationship with God. That's called the ministry of reconciliation, found in 2 Corinthians. And that's something that all of us have, the opportunity, yes, but it's part of the Great Commission, right? Is to go out to the world, to make disciples, to introduce people to God. And that is something that I am honored to be able to do with you here today. So, as we continue with the woman at the well, Jesus, and the hottest part of the day, finds himself thirsty, tired from traveling at the well, and he meets a woman there. And let's just go to, we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to start with verse 16 eventually, but I want to go back to verse 13 and give you a little context from yesterday. He asks the woman for water. And she is surprised, right? Because she's surprised because Jews don't ask Samaritans for, don't even talk to Samaritans, let alone Samaritan women. So Jesus is breaking barriers there. And let alone that, asking her for water. And she's surprised. And Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the Bible makes reference to the power of water in many, many places. One of them is in Psalm 1, where it says that those who meditate on the law of the Lord are like trees planted by the water. They bear fruit. They don't wither. they prosper. And what we see Jesus telling her here, and what he says later on, where he says, this water, I think I have it here, right in front of me. Let's go to the next slide. There we go. He says, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, pointing to the water in the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in him a spring welling up to eternal life. And where we left off yesterday, the woman turns to him and says, sir, give me this water so that or have to come here to draw water. What Jesus is pointing out, and what I wanted to point out in Psalms, is that when we are planted by God, when we rely on God as our source, then we are taken care of completely. And this is the contrast that we've been talking about over the last couple chapters, right? Is that the difference between focusing on God and the unseen, which is eternal, or putting our trust and faith in the things that are here in this world and temporary. She had water, that well had water that would quench your thirst for a short period of time. Jesus, the living water, can be your provider. God is a provider, and what he provides can sustain us, not just for a short period of time, can sustain us through all seasons. Amen. That water in the well was temporary, but the water that Jesus was talking about was eternal. So she says, please give me the water so I won't be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again. She's not totally getting it, and we know that Jesus is patient, so he continues on. So this is where I think we all can really relate. He told her, go call your husband and come back. And she says, verse 17, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Now, this may be the gentlest way I've ever seen somebody, point out maybe some promiscuity. We'll just put it that way, but that's what Jesus is hitting on here. You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had several husbands. And if you know anything about biblical marriage or what really consummates a marriage, you can get where we're going here. I don't have to go any further. But what we see is the woman leaning in on something that she is obviously struggling with, or an area of her life that maybe is impure. And Jesus's reaction is very telling. Jesus says, I know. Think about that for a second. She says, I don't have any husbands. And Jesus says, no, you've got a few. And I know. I know all about it. But what we need to take note of here is that he was willing to talk to her at the well. He was willing to offer her living water. Her day-to-day struggles didn't disqualify her and didn't line her up to being condemned either. And so often we think that our own struggles, the things that we make mistakes on in the past, today, somehow disqualify us from having fellowship with Jesus. And this shows that is not the case at all. I'm struggling with addiction, Lord. Jesus says, I know. Struggling with depression, with anger, with bitterness, with resentment, lust, greed, envy. He says, I know. And if you ask me, I will give you the living water. You know, the fact that she was at the well in the middle of the day is actually pretty telling also. In that culture, the women would go down to the well mainly in the morning or at night because those were the coolest times of the day. And the fact that she's alone at the well in the middle of the day, we can only speculate, but it might be because her lifestyle was outside of the cultural norm. Therefore, she was somewhat of an outcast. She would avoid other people because most of the time, nobody's down at the well in the middle of the day. And sometimes our struggles will that seem to drive us away will drive us right into the arms of Jesus. For those who have ears, let them hear, right? So let's continue on, because we're not done with this part of the chapter, and I want to make sure that we get through and get closed out at a decent time here, but don't want to rush things. She says, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet." And then she kind of deflects here and starts talking about worship. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain." If you remember, the Samaritans and the Jewish people had two competing temples. "But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." So I want to break this down here for a second, because she points out the worship. Your ancestors worship there. We worship here. And starts going into that aspect. And Jesus said, "Look, all of that is changing. You are not going to worship on this mountain or that mountain or Jerusalem. The time is coming where you are going to worship in a different way, in spirit and in truth." You see, the way to worship God, the only way to worship God then was to go to the building, because God lived in the building. But what was happening through Jesus was that humanity would now have the opportunity to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The temples of brick and mortar and gold were no longer going to be a valid way of worship. To worship in spirit and truth, we realize that we are now all temples of God. And that was the big change that was coming. And this is where the gospel is the great equalizer. We have two separate communities that are as far apart as you could possibly. They were close in proximity, but by their hearts, they were very far apart. And Jesus walks right into Samaria, and he goes right in the center, right where the well is. And he says to this woman, who was probably the least of the least, she was someone who slept around. She was somebody who maybe isolated herself. And he gives her the opportunity for the living water, despite her imperfections. And he points out to her that the way that you worship in buildings is over, and that there's going to be true worshipers in spirit and in truth, meaning that we are all connected by the same spirit. We are all now the temple of God. We have the opportunity to come together and worship and have that common ground. And that's what Jesus was establishing. That's what the gospel establishes. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of God, which is about love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the intangibles that do so much, these are things that we can rally around. See, we can rally around our own ideas, and we're only going to get so far because we're going to fight about those. But when we rally around the things of God, all of a sudden the barriers in our culture start breaking down, because we can fellowship with one another in spirit and in truth. And as we close out this 1% here, she says, "Well, I know the Messiah is going to come, and when he comes, we're going to have some answers. So she's admitting right there, listen, I don't have all the answers. And one day the Messiah is going to come. And I believe that that God and God's messenger is going to be able to clear the way. And Jesus says, I am he. The time is now. And a lot of times we are stuck in our own ruts, knowing we don't have the answers and knowing that if we could just have an encounter with God, things would become clearer. And I believe that that's what's happening for you, for me, as we draw closer to God, the light of the world. The dark places inside of us are exposed to that light and exposed in a way that are gentle, just the way Jesus handled this woman in a gentle manner. I think the church could probably learn from that. And then what happens? We'll get into that tomorrow when she goes and she grabs everybody in the town. We'll see what happens to that town. Because one woman who was an outcast, who wasn't doing the right thing, and Jesus didn't disqualify her, but actually gave her an opportunity to make a big difference in her community. We'll get to that tomorrow. But I want to pray that as you go into this day, that again, you don't just necessarily rely on the circumstances around you, but you rely on the spirit that's inside of you. And that with everything that you do, worship doesn't have to be just the song part of your service, that everything you do is a part of worship, whether you're going to work, whether you're standing next to somebody at the grocery store, whether you're dealing with a sick relative, that God would give you the strength inside of you to operate in spirit and truth. So Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this study. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Lord, as we go into this day, we pray that your spirit and your truth would prevail through us, Lord God. That no matter what we face, Lord, that we would have the strength and the wisdom to overcome that as we continue to draw closer to you, as your light continues to shine on our hearts, and as we continue to grow together every day in Jesus' mighty name. My name is Pastor J.D. Ambrosio. You are listening to the 1% Christian. Let's meet up again tomorrow as we continue with John chapter 4. Love you guys.